You know, it's just when you're in the presence, right? You don't want to break it up. You don't want to move from that space. And so how will we move together and breathe and oh, yeheya, just keep like in that rhythm throughout the rest of our time together. So we are working with the 12 powers, and it's this energy. It's this yummy, palpable energy that's in the room right now. That's what it's like when the powers are ignited. We're a lit, a light. I'm not sure which word is right. We're shiny, right? We're bright. We're walking in the light. You know, when we sing that song with the children, we are walking in the light. That's what it's like, right? It's got that. So I don't want us to lose that experience, that energy that just, I think, was in the room and is in the room still. Like, I still want to keep, let's stir that pot. Let's keep it going, right? So that we can continue to know what it's like to be in a continuous flow of divine light. What it's like when we are in the continuous energy of that. And thank you for all of you who are online, because you're a part of that. And I want you to know that the camera is framed in yellow tape, and today the power of wisdom is yellow. So it's like you're with us in the power of wisdom, as are the people outside and all of us, right? All of us who are in this together, this energy, this precious energy. So the 12 powers, it might just seem, you know, on the surface, it might just seem like, oh, well, yeah, that's a set of teachings and it's interesting. And because on the first blush, it might be that. That's how it is when we're learning something new. It's sort of, you know, it's information. It's interesting. It's got colors, got locations. It's, you know, got a bunch of stuff around it that's, you know, feels like solid spiritual teachings. But it's like there's teachings and then there's like breath. And then there's breathing the teachings and living the teachings and walking the teachings. And that's like a whole different thing. It's experience. And so that is really what we're after when we are igniting these powers one by one. Yes, there is intellectual understanding of what they mean and what they're about and where they're located, so we can kind of have that, put that picture together. As I was saying earlier, it's like learning an instrument or something new. You know, at first it's like it feels like these steps, and it's just sort of awkward steps, right? But then after a while, it's like the music flows. And then it's just, oh, yeah, second nature, right? When you watch all these musicians, and I still am always amazed by all of you that you can play an instrument and sing at the same time. Just never got that skill down. And so it's just, it's a beautiful thing when we can flow in it, when we can flow with it. And as we learn these powers, then we embody them. And when we embody them, then there's just a knowing, oh yeah, I need to work with this one, bring this one in. And what do I do to do that? That's right, I breathe into that center, I activate it, maybe I bring the color in some way, and then I begin to walk in it and feel it and act from it. So all the powers have this kind of texture to them, this spiritual texture. Wisdom is one of these that's like, it's not, we always say it's already within you. And you already have that quality. And while that's true, wisdom is a real key one that's about experience and development, right? That sometimes the power of wisdom is called the power of discernment, because we have to make so many decisions all the time. And when we use this power, we make them from this grounded space of spirit. We make them from that place that is very different than when it's a mental exercise. And that experience is so important, that life experience. So maybe with this power of wisdom, we could say that our human walk and our spiritual understanding really come together in a beautiful marriage in this case, because it is about life experience and how we perceive and know and come to understand that life experience and then apply it, that we really, really learn. Do you remember the holy fool Nasruddin from Sufism? Tons of great stories from Nasruddin. And one of them, one of his devotees has been looking for him everywhere. He's been walking through all the towns looking for Nasruddin. And he finally finds him in the city market, and he's sitting on top of a pile of banana peels. Nobody knows why. And so he comes up to him. He says, I've been looking for you everywhere. I have a question in my heart. And the question I have is one that I think everybody wants to know. How do I obtain happiness? And Nazarene says, how do you obtain happiness? Well, the secret of happiness is good judgment. Oh, says the student, good judgment. That's good. How do I get good judgment? Nazarene says, experience. Oh, well, what? How do I get more experience? Bad judgment. Pretty much wraps up life, doesn't it? Have any of you ever made a poor decision? Oh, good, I'm in good company. And what do you think, if you think back to one of those poor decisions, what do you think, what was underneath that? What caused you to make that poor decision? Fear. Hubris, ego. You thought what? At the time you thought it was the right decision, it was in hindsight that you realized it wasn't such a great one. And if we slowed that down to like slow motion, right? I bet somewhere in there when you made the decision, you knew that something wasn't quite right. But a lot of times we don't operate in that slow motion, right? It's knee-jerk, it's impulsive. And so we're in a hurry. Or we want instant gratitude. We are the culture of instant gratitude, right? So there's that, or I'm sorry, instant gratification is what I meant. Instant gratitude is a good thing. Yeah, we'll have instant gratitude anytime. Yeah, but that idea of instant gratification is definitely something that is a big part of our culture. And so that impulsive nature, right, to say, at the moment, yeah, it sounds good, right? Sounds good. You know, I'll have a pint of chocolate chip ice cream. Sounds good. Then later, it seemed like the right decision at the time. And it tasted good, but I don't feel so good. So years ago, so it could be all of these things, right, that we said. Fear, impulsive nature, maybe ego. So when I was in grade school, I made a decision that was both first impulsive and then secondly, based on fear. I was with my brownie troop, and my mom was one of our brownie troop leaders, I'm just remembering. And across the gymnasium was a balance beam, a gymnastics balance beam. And I had the idea that it would be really great if I could jump over that balance beam. And so just impulsively, I ran as fast as I could, and I went to jump over the balance beam, and my foot caught the bottom. And then I made another poor decision on the way down. This one based in fear. So my best friend Julie McGill and I had been out roller skating not long before, and she had broken her arm because she braced her fall with her hands in her arms. So I decided to pin my hands to my side, and I took the full brunt of the fall on the floor with my open screaming mouth. And I broke my front teeth like in half and a quarter. And for the rest of my life, I've remembered that. I have a constant reminder of that, following your gut instinct and your wisdom, your grounded sense of intuition and wisdom is a good thing, and not acting out of fear and impulse all the time. Then, as an adult, that dental bonding on my front teeth has fallen off at times, sometimes terrible timing. In one case, I had applied to Unity of Columbia, and it was my first church ministry right out of ministerial, well, I wasn't right out of ministerial school, but first one out of ministerial school. And we had already had our first candidate weekend, thank goodness, when the bonding came off my tooth. And we were having like a second date. They invited me to come speak again before I started months later. And so it was kind of important to do your best, and looking your best is good too. And so I also needed a job, and I didn't have a dentist. And so I found a dentist, but it turns out I didn't find a very good one. And so he put a temporary on, and it looked like a kernel of corn was stuck to my front tooth. I think it might have been worse than just going without half the tooth. To their credit, they looked past appearances. Nobody even asked me about it. I just had to kind of come clean when I came up to speak because it was bothering me. I was so self-conscious about it. And in their wisdom, they still hired me. So it was a reminder, right? Do we have these? Do you have some of these in your life that you made a poor decision and it just kind of keeps coming up through life? You go, oh yeah, that again. Oh, thank you. So wisdom is located in the solar plexus. And it's signified, as I mentioned, by the color of yellow. And I love this picture because to me it just shows like when we ignite this power of wisdom, it's like this radiant divine light that is spilling forth from us. And we're walking in that light, and we're feeling in that light, and we're flowing in that light through life. And so it guides us. This area of the body is considered the second brain. Have you ever heard that? The body's other brain or second brain. And so part of what makes it biologically really interesting is that there's this ganglionic bundle of nerves that connects basically the solar plexus and the heart. So it's this connection point between the power of wisdom and the power of love is a bunch of nerves. Part of the automatic nervous system. So automatic nervous system, meaning beneath conscious awareness, right? It's an automatic, and also meaning it's about feeling. It's full of feeling. And so this area of our body and this access point to wisdom is a feeling nature that has wisdom, that has smarts, that is a second brain. It's the feeling brain, if you will. And, you know, we talk about it all the time. I had a gut feeling, right? To do this or to do that. I had a gut feeling I should go that way. And so I decided to turn around and go that way. And a lot of times it's not necessarily that we have an intellectual understanding of why we have that gut feeling, but when we are in communication with spirit and following our intuition and trusting it, we just do it. And most of us in this room and on this journey and at home watching know that when we do, the right things happen, that we get into that flow, that we feel in that space of the divine light that we just looked at, that glows and that guides. And when we don't, we just learn to choose again. And that's the power of discernment that is a part of wisdom. So our bodies have wisdom too. It's not all just stored right here in the solar plexus, right? There's all kinds of things that the body is really constantly communicating to us. Those sensations that we have, whether they are tension or pain or excitement, the butterflies that we might feel, the sense of openness that we might feel or constriction that we might feel, all of these things are constantly telling us something. So for the decision-making power of wisdom, sometimes we say, well, I don't really know which voice to listen to, right, inside, or I'm not really sure what it's saying. But we do know if we phrase the question to our bodies in such a way that we can get a clear answer. So, for example, I invite you to just explore for a moment how your body communicates yes to you or no to you. I invite you to close your eyes for a minute and just drop in. And let's just ask our bodies, what does a yes feel like? When you are telling me yes, how do I feel? What's happening inside of me? Just notice where you feel it and how it feels. And then let's switch to no. What does no feel like in my body? What does my body tell me is a no? And now let's switch back again to yes. Feel yes. And when you're ready, come back into this space. Did you feel a difference? So maybe you already knew this, but it still helps to stop every so often and even ask your body, what's a yes, what's a no? So that you can remember when you have a decision to make to ask the wisdom of your body. That's where spirit lives, right? In the body. And so asking and then trusting the feeling that you get that will tell you yes or no. I think a lot of times what happens is we complicate things or we ask a complicated question and then we're not sure what the answer is. But if we phrase it in such a way that it's a yes or a no, then we can get really clear, really fast. And the more we practice this with simple things, you know, throughout our day we can practice it with really simple routine things, then we get, it becomes second nature. So when the big questions come up of life or the instantaneous need to make a quick decision, we already know what it's like. We can quickly tune in and go, oh yeah, that's a no. Oh yeah, no, that's a yes. What are some of the things that people experienced? Does anybody want to share? Stronger, your body felt stronger when it was a yes. Ah, good, good. Yeah, for those of you online who couldn't hear, Barry was talking about openness in his chest and then this tightness across his brow is more the feeling of no. And he kind of knew it before, but it became now into his conscious awareness from this exercise. So a lot of similarity in the room, an uplifting or a sinking feeling or that sense of the heart feeling open. And what was it? What was the no for you?
Like a tense feeling.
Tense. And the no was tense in the hands even. And then John had said strong. Oh, a couple more people want to share. Holly? Oh, very good. So Holly's talking about a different kind of no, which is the power of renunciation. And that's the no that says no. Like, I'm saying no to that. It's like that really powerful kind of no, right? That's a you're tapping another power there. So thank you for presencing that. And John? Yeah, okay. Yeah, power, feeling a power when it's a yes and sort of just uncertain energy. David? Ooh, okay. Yes was excited relaxation. Yeah, no was a stomach punch. Louise?
The yes felt like a smile. And the no felt like a tight chest.
Another tight chest for a no and a smile for a yes. Yeah.
That we heard about earlier, that really strong no, in my experience, that's in service to a deeper yes.
Ah, yes. Thank you for that frame. Yeah, so that strong no that Holly was talking about, the power of renunciation, is actually a deeper kind of yes. Yeah, okay, good. Wow, we're getting deep here. Alberto.
Yeah, to me, the yes is a sense of openness.
Ah, yes, a sense of openness. Can we get a microphone down here? Because more people want to share. Is that possible, Dave? Ah, and the no is a closeness. Yeah, close chest. A lot of chest, kind of either open or closed, but a lot of, so you can see how the heart plays a part in all of this. Linda, thank you, Danae. This is good. Thank you all for sharing.
When it was the yes, I just felt an enormous amount of joy from the center out. And wow. Almost shining. And the no, my head hurt.
Ah, a headache and then a shiny feeling for a yes.
And for me,
When I feel yes was like coming from the solar plexus, like a sun rejuvenate me, and no was coming from my third eye, very cold and mystical.
Very nice.
Mine was interesting, kind of weird. I felt for the yes, I felt movement. For the no, it wasn't moving.
Yeah, so sort of like no going forward. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
My yes is usually ascended being, my ascended self. I have that feeling of going up into a higher consciousness, and the no, I don't get that sensation. I don't get that sensation.
There's kind of nothing for no?
Yeah, it's just blank.
Yeah, cool. Anybody else? Final shares. Carol's over here.
Getting my steps.
Oh, and Ben on the way, how about?
Okay, Ben on the way.
You know, the alignment with the heart center is a yes. And then when there's a no, it's like, no, thank you. I'm going to come back to my heart.
Good job. Nice one. Thank you so much for doing this. I had to frame what is the question I'm asking yes or no, about in my head. So for me, because I needed this so much right now on this question, what I focused on was sort of in the back of my mind, is this in my highest good or in the highest good? So for me, like some others, the yes was very much an opening of the heart. But interestingly, I have gone around a lot feeling very ungrounded, like my feet cannot connect with the earth. It's part of focusing my awareness up in higher chakras. That's my positive side. There's the negative side. But for me, the yes actually made me want to connect my feet with the earth, which was brand new and really amazing to me. And then, of course, the no felt like this fear in my gut. So thank you so much for doing this. It's exactly what I needed today.
Good. Well, and what you're sharing, Carol, is about the embodiment and the experience that we're talking about, right? We tend to like to live in our spiritual walk from the heart up. We might include a little of the solar plexus, but we don't tend to, put the roots down and really bring up that energy from the earth. And so that's what you're speaking of, is like the yes filled in from the heart down. Beautiful. Well, see the collective wisdom in this room? Yeah, and that's the thing about wisdom, right? We all have it, we all have access to it. And what's beautiful is a lot of what you shared was similar and unique, because each of us as unique souls are gonna receive in slightly different ways. And thank you, Dave and Danae, for making the microphone happen. So Mary Oliver, the great nature poet, says this about the power of discernment through one of her poems. It's, "I have decided. I have decided to find myself a home in the mountains, somewhere high up, where one learns to live peacefully in the cold and the silence. It's said that in such a place, certain revelations may be discovered, that what the spirit reaches for may be eventually felt, if not exactly understood. Slowly, no doubt. I'm not talking about a vacation. Of course, at the same time, I mean to stay exactly where I am. Are you following me?" Yeah. So it isn't about necessarily the journey outward, right? We don't have to go to that sacred place on earth to be in it, because it's in us. The mountain is in us. That sacred place to go is in us, and that is where we tap the wisdom. Dr. Barry Brazelton was in a grocery store one day. He was a pediatrician, and he was the host of a TV show called Your Baby Knows, or What Every Baby Knows. You know him. Danae's shaking her head. So one day he was in the grocery store, and he hears this child just crying, having a, you know, temper tantrum and just crying. And the mother's like swatting at the child. And so, of course, that's exacerbating it, making it worse. And the kid's more upset, and the mom's upset. And at first, he's looking at the mom, and he's thinking judgmental thoughts. And he's thinking, oh, I want to pin her arms to her side and get her to stop that so everything stops, you know. And then he goes, wait a second. I know. I have wisdom inside me about this. I know something about this. And he just goes inside for a moment. And then he knows exactly what to do, and he approaches the mother, and he says, boy, it sure is hard to take a little one like this shopping with you sometimes, isn't it? And the mother looks so surprised, and then she just sat on the floor and bawled. And you know what the baby did, or the kid did? She stopped crying immediately, crawled into her mother's lap, and threw her arms around her to comfort the mother. A return to love. Yeah. And so it is for us when we follow those instincts. So again, engaging another power. The power of wisdom discerns for us. The power of wisdom helps us get to the, what's the answer? What am I supposed to do here? What's the insight? What's the action or the words? Or maybe it's no action or no words. Whatever it is that we are, the impulse, then we act through the power of will. Remember the power of will? We covered it a long time ago, but a cover of will is up in the head, and it's the executive power of the mind that acts. But when it acts according to wisdom, then the action is like that laser action that is the right action. It's the right words. It's the thing that lights up whatever it is that, or whoever it is that we're addressing or working with. And so then wisdom gets honed through this ability to not only discern, but then to set in motion another power that helps us act accordingly. It's great to get the wisdom, but what if we get it and we never act upon it? Then we just become very quiet and wise, right? But there's no sort of giving it back to the world. And we know, as we're talking about this in the framework of prosperity, that if you just continue to receive and receive and receive and you don't give out, there's sort of an implosion, right? There's not that natural flow of giving and receiving. You know, hoarding does not allow spirit to flow in whatever ways we might hoard, whether it be little tidbits of wisdom or whatever it may be. So it's that giving and that receiving that we are constantly in the flow of. And when we are in a constant flow of giving and receiving, and we probably all know this around finances, sometimes there's a little fear. Oh, what if I give and I don't receive again, you know? Right? It never happens. But there is that first, there's that block sometimes, that sense of lack and limitation, right? There won't be enough. If I give this away, there won't be enough. So that's where the trust comes in. That's where the flow comes in. That's where the experience comes in. And when we let go, when we trust, when we allow, a lot of times we're surprised at all the goodness that comes. You know, it's like God asked Solomon, became king, and God said, what do you want? You know, and Solomon began to pray. And what did Solomon pray for? This wisdom, the spirit of discernment, to make the best decisions that he could possibly make for the people of the kingdom. He was a young king. He didn't feel like he really knew anything. And he was like, just give me the wisdom, God. Give me the wisdom so I can do the best and highest good I can do for my people. God was like, you are the winner, young man, right? You didn't ask for riches. You didn't ask for a beautiful bride. You didn't ask for livestock and land and all the stuff that all the other guys are asking for. Because you knew that the real jewel was the wisdom. And with that, everything else comes. So guess what? I'm going to give you riches and livestock and a beautiful wife and all kinds of things, right? And he was singing from then on, right? The Song of Solomon. So that is the way it works, is for us to come with a genuine sort of humility and a willing spirit and a prayerful spirit to say, yes, Spirit, I trust, I give and I receive, and I know that that's the actual cycle, the breath of life through me. And so there is no fear, and even if there is fear, I'm going to move through my fear and let go and give it a chance to see what happens as I release and let go, right? We'll see what happens, all the goodness that keeps flowing with such ease and such grace. The greatest wisdom keepers know the mystery of spirit. They trust the mystery of spirit. They trust the timing, the pause, the check-in, the allowing. They go first to be still and know that I am. And then everything goes from there. And you are that too. And you know that there are times when you go first to be still and know that I am. And then you act from there. And there are times that you get kind of caught up in the worldly ways and simply the intellect, and you kind of bypass your spirit, and you know which one works better for you, right? So then we come back to the yes and the no. Whatever it is that might be in your heart right now, whatever it is, decisions that might be before you in your life, whatever you think might be troubling you right now, know that you already have the answer within you. And you know what? You already know that you know. On that deeper level, we all know that we know. And we just kind of complicate things from there. But in the simplicity, there is clarity. And all we have to do is let go and allow it to arise and then act upon it. It's just a matter of trusting our guts. Knowing that in the gut we have the wisdom, and then acting upon it from there. So will you affirm that with me? Together, I discern with the wisdom in my gut and then do the right thing. And so it is.